Zaxby's just out-Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, what if? What if what I was if? Alex? I am.
What are if you, I though? Wasn't? What if I wasn't Justin?
Ooh, a twist.
Thought about that?
Yeah.
Who are you, Pete?
What if
I'm
Pete didn't know
it.
What part of the show we were doing?
Yeah. What if Pete didn't know his own name? No idea. This is our belated wrap-up episode for What If Season 3. This came out during the holidays over the course of...
Which holidays?
The Easter through Valentine's Day.
That's in that order.
Yeah, there you go. Over the course of 8 days, all episode airs. This is the final season of the series as well, so it is all over. So what we're going to do here on the podcast is talk about all the episodes, talk about some highlights, lowlights, and generally what we thought about What If, as experiment is not a good word because it ran on for 3 seasons, but... First out of the gate, really, for Marvel animation that we've now seen pan out into X-Men 97, at least the first season of that, as well as the currently streaming Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. So I know we've, in general, been back and forth about the show to the point that Pete just generally doesn't like the concept of what if at all.
Well, Pete doesn't like the notion of what if. It's not even like the show. He's like, don't give me a question mark.
Why question it? You know what I mean? So what if we're in a simulation? We still got to wake up every fucking day and deal with this shit. So like, what's the difference? You know what I mean?
Why? So this goes to a larger life philosophy.
And this is why Pete was actually before Keanu Reeves cast in The Matrix, and he could not get past the red pill, blue pill scene. He was like, fuck you, neither. And just knocked him right out of Morpheus's hands.
Yeah, he took neither, and then he took both. So that's that's the worst way. For
knocked him before and was like, "Ooh, M&M's."
So to be fair, Pete, do you think you can set aside your dislike of the concept to talk about the show itself?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did this season. I said, hey, you know, just set my personal feelings aside and try to have some fun with it. And I did. I felt like they did do a good job of exploring half-ass ideas and just kind of like throwing stuff against a wall and be like, hey, what if Howard the Duck got with Darcy? I don't like that premise, but all right. You know,
well,
I get more
Darcy. You're jealous of the duck.
Well, I feel like Darcy can do so much better. You know what I mean?
Are you often jealous of ducks, or is it just Howard?
Now that we're talking about it, yeah. I mean, they're hanging out in ponds all day. You know,
here's the thing. If you do any sort of reading about male ducks, and I'm not going to repeat it here, you would not be jealous. They are monsters. Monsters. Yeah.
Are you talking about Daffy?
Nope. I'm talking about real male ducks. Do some reading about duck sexual reproduction. Not going to talk about it here. Horrible.
To be fair, the anatomy, Pete does share the anatomy of the male duck. Not the attitude, but the anatomy. Yeah. And the free bread is nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, he does share the attitude, I got to say, of like Donald Duck.
Yeah. You mean no pants, sailor adjacent.
3 nephews.
True. Wow, great call.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that Pete is willing to set aside his preconceived notions because I feel like I'm sort of taking them on a little bit in this third season of What If. Because, you know, not to say this is a blanket dislike of the season, but I just feel like this show, you know, it's billed as this package of unlimited creativity. That's the way the comic book series is. We can go anywhere, do anything. But in the actual TV series, the limitation is the MCU and the active pieces. And I think it's especially complicated in this season by a lot of the failed recent properties that they're like, well, let's do some more Eternals speculation. I'm like, we all flushed that guy down the toilet. I don't want to go back and speculate.
He was funny in this. I thought like Kumail Nanjiani, did it get a great job. The whole Bollywood stuff was a lot of fun.
Do you think he got jacked for the voice role of this?
You can hear it.
100%. I don't think you can get unjacked that quickly, but I mean...
You can get unjacked pretty quickly. I can speak to
okay. Before we get into talking about specific episodes, just generally talking about the show, something that we talked about a lot over the course of the first two seasons is personally, I felt like what they were going for was more of an Elseworlds than a What If. Just to sort of lay the groundwork for anybody.
Wow, that's really a...
Well, we've talked about this incessantly.
Perhaps the most comic booky quibble
comic booky quibble, but I think the thing that was holding me up about the first two seasons in particular was the idea of like, what if is very clearly dominoes, right? It's like, oops, we changed one thing and it spirals out of control and terrible things happen, or less rarely wonderful things happen, but that's what we're following. Versus Elseworlds is like, it is also asking the what if question, but it's like, what if Batman was a vampire? What do you think? Which is not like one domino. It's a big tweak. It's a turn of the dial. And that's what they've been going for here is this multiverse show. The other two things that really were driven home for me in this final season that were layered in here is one, like you're saying, Justin, it's the MCU multiverse. So that's definitely, in some ways, a limitation here. I mean, limitations can let shows rise above, but here I really do think it was something that was holding them down for a lot of the time. And then the second thing was the continuity that they wanted to lay into it is something that just like, I don't know. In my mind, often, as much as I like Captain Carter as a character, brought it to a grinding halt. Like, it got it so far afield from any sort of Elseworlds, what if, whatever concept. And
are you talking shit about Peggy Carter right now, bro?
I'm absolutely not. And if you listened to me, you would have heard that.
I'm trying to listen, but you're saying crazy shit.
The thing is that, like, this tried to be too many different shows at the same time. It also tried to be a serious show and a comedy show. And I think they liked being – this is reading between the lines just by watching the season and not talking to them, obviously, at all. But, like, I think they liked being a plot-heavy comedy show.
Yeah.
And the other stuff didn't quite work as well, you know, or at least like it didn't feel like the heart was in it. And that came to bear for me in a lot of the episodes this season, where things like we mentioned the What If Howard the Duck Got Hitched episode. I think that's the absolute best example there of that's not even a what if scenario. That's just following up on the Party Thor episode that they did previously. And it's not about, ooh, what if Howard the Duck got married? It's Howard the Duck from this one episode and Darcy from this one episode have an egg together that the rest of the universe wants it. And it's a goofy, zany comedy episode with all the forgotten villains showing up, trying to go after it, Thanos looking like a doofus. And I'm sure I know there's been a lot of like dissent online about this one. To me, this was like the most successful episode of the season. Agreed. Because it was funny. It was goofy. It wasn't connected to anything else. It wasn't trying to be What If. It wasn't trying to Elseworlds. It was just leading into the comedy.
Well, and I would say on top of that, like, because I really asked myself, why did I think this one was the best? And I think it was because it had a strong character POV as opposed to just like a premise forward thing or a genre lay on. And it really just followed the fun of the idea and took it into where the episode went. So that was cool. Plus, it featured the Black Order, which, as we all know, is the original Ashen Combine.
Yes, wow. Exactly. Shouts out to our currently reading Avengers heads. I mean, by contrast, this is an episode that I do think sits relatively in a similar place, but was not successful, is the What If the Red Guardian Stopped the Winter Soldier, which, like, is heavily steeped in continuity, does start with the scenario of, like, I guess, what if Red Guardian was there at the same time as Winter Soldier was killing Tony Stark's parents, but it's just trying to be a buddy road comedy with two Russian people. The problem is it's not that funny, I think.
Whoa, Red Guardian was hilarious in that episode.
The jokes weren't good.
Go fuck yourself, dude. When he's yelling the stuff as he's doing, that was hysterical. I was having a great time with Red Guardian in that episode.
Sorry, I should have said, like we always say on this podcast, it was not to my taste.
There we go. Jesus Christ,
that fixed everything. Though I agree with you, Alex. This was not to my taste either, that episode. I also fell into a real Siegfried and Roy timeline internet hole in this episode because they referenced Siegfried and Roy, and I was like, what? That doesn't track. And I was like, oh, right, because the Stark's death is moved up into the early 90s, been the timeline, and Siegfried and Roy could have technically been there at the same time.
No, I kind of did the same thing because, like, the 90s thing doesn't make any sense to me because they're clearly dressed like they were from the 1950s or 60s.
Exactly. Yes.
Anyway.
That was, like, definitely pulled me out of it. But, I just think that episode comedically, like, was just untimely with a lot of what they were trying to do. But I will say, across the board, the cold opens were really good. And the middle of the season, 4, 5, 6, I feel like really worked for me. And it's surprising to me that the middle of the season would be where I would find the most
the
success.
Line, "Knock it off, Captain Personality, you're embarrassing us," was hysterical. It was really well delivered. And I don't know what you guys are fucking talking about, dude.
I'm so glad you enjoyed that, Pete. What are we talking about?
Well, you know what, Pete? I would say that was to your taste.
Yeah, it was to your taste. It was very yummy for you.
Yeah, you like, I guess, like really crusty old beef jerky or whatever.
I think the, hey, listen, you know, beef jerky is beef jerky. You know what I mean? It's going to be there for you.
just like that joke was then there for sitting in a road stop for a generation.
Yeah, and I believe that Slim Jim's tagline is, "We're going to beef there for you," right?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to beef there for you. If you need us, we're beef.
We're going to beef there for you.
I just think that overall, you had to, when you sign up Jeffrey Wright for this, you got to get more Jeffrey Wright. So I'm glad at the end of the season, the what if, even though kind of a ridiculous title, I'm glad that we got to kind of really put Jeffrey, because I don't like the Watcher. I think it's a dumb character. I've never liked the Watcher. So having the Watcher kind of be like, this is bullshit, I need to get involved so I can help this universe stay alive and not be fucked, I got behind that. I was like, great, finally, you're moved. I think that's interesting. And then the fight sequences and stuff was really over the top and a lot of fun. So I felt like where it first two seasons was exploring idea, but they had that ending, and I felt like it was a good ending for the show to kind of be like, hey, let's flex our Jeffrey Wright a little bit here and let him have some fun. And I was like, okay, cool.
I hear what you're saying, Pete. I had a little bit of trouble with the end there, and maybe this was just reading into it metatextually, but the whole idea of getting to a place, granted we've talked about this a lot as comic book fans, but getting to a place where the Watcher's like, well, hold on, I actually interrupt a lot now that I think about it, and watching is not great, and maybe I shouldn't do that, felt to me like working against the entire concept of the show. And not in a way that we were getting towards character growth, but it felt like they were starting it at a place of like, Watcher as a concept does not work. He needs to be the interrupter. Let's figure out a way that he gets there.
That's funny. But I mean, like, the Watcher always implies the interruption. I feel like the whole thing is as a sympathetic
When's
character.
When's he going to interrupt? Yeah,
that's well, and I know this has happened, like, the whole trial of the Watcher and everything that has happened in the comics as well.
A lot,
but
yeah.
I feel like there are certain things that we kind of go with as we're reading stories, things that we accept just are part of the nature of the story. And you can explore them different ways, but the Watcher is one of those where, yes, he is going to get to the place where just by the very basics of being seen by people or things like that is going to be changing the circumstances, let alone stepping in and be like, well, you know, I just watched, but Reed Richards, here's one thing you can do to change the situation. But this goes even farther beyond that, to the point that he's actively manipulating events, to the point that by the end I was kind of like, well, these bad guys kind of do have a point.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
Really got you. Well, that didn't bother
me. You're really starting to see eye to eye with the villains now, is what you just said out loud?
Well, they gave him a job, and then he didn't do that job.
Yeah, Alex is so a capitalist just when it comes to watching.
Yeah, I guess so. Like,
how much does that pay, by the way? I don't have a job right now, so I'd love to be paid to watch.
I feel like I am being paid as a watcher, except the checks haven't cleared yet. I'm mostly watching and not interceding and stuff. What about you guys? Are you interceding much?
Not much. I don't have very much of a intellectual add to the stuff that I'm watching, but I would call myself the podcaster. Pete, what about you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. As much as I yell at my TV, it doesn't have the effect that I would like.
So you'd be more of like the old man?
trying to interrupt, but no one can hear him. Well, how about we talk about, what did we think about the storm intro here? Which that definitely deviated from what my complaint was of only having current MCU stuff. Pretty big swing to have Storm show up.
Just show up there. It felt like there was an episode missing, to be honest with you.
Well, that I was like, this is a big swing, but they sort of were like, yeah, and of course, you know Storm. I was like, I'm sorry, I haven't been introduced to her. I'm an MCU person. I don't know this woman.
It's wild to have the first actual beyond like the Beast cameo at the end of the Marvels, have an actual canonical showing up of an X-Men character in here out of absolutely nowhere. But my supposition about a lot of this, and this gets to what you were saying earlier about Eternals and even like Shang-Chi showing up, Kate Bishop showing up, etc.
Kate Bishop.
There's a much longer lead time for making animation. I think it's usually about like a year and a half to 2 years. And my guess, this is purely a guess, I have not read anything about this, is they probably assumed a lot of these things would be more ingrained to the MCU now by the time they're releasing season three than they actually are. Like, I think probably by the time they were writing and working on these scripts, they're like, yeah, there's going to be Young Avengers. Yes, we're going to have Shang-Chi 2, which has been talked about forever. Eternals 2. Great cliffhanger at the end there. Everybody's going to be hankering for that. We should be well on our way there. And potentially even like X-Men 97 season 2 and all these other things. So this would not be X-Men 97 and then here's the second time this Storm shows up now with Thor's hammer.
I don't know, guys. I don't think not many people are watching it being like, Storm who?
We're just Justin's talking from a story perspective, from a writing perspective.
Just internal to the episode, they have her show up like she's been basically on the team or in the consciousness of this show throughout.
She is in our consciousness for a long time.
Yeah, because you have been reading comics for a long time. If this was the first, if you've only watched MCU shows, and she shows up and it's like, well, this character seems important. You don't know anything about her. So I just thought that it was just a strange thing. And for the second to last episode of this show to introduce a character from outside of the MCU and let alone an X-Men, characters we've been waiting to see introduced into the MCU, I thought was just a surprising, strange thing.
A fun what if you will.
Wow. Wow, Pete's turning it
against Pete's an evangelist for the show now. One thing I will ask you, Pete, I think we talked about before you watched the final two episodes, how did you feel about Natasha Lyonne as Birdie the Duck?
Great. Fun. I mean, she is a hilarious human being and always a nice addition to anything that I'm watching. So if she's there, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, and she's going to be in the Fantastic Four movie as well as a mysterious part. Do you think she's going to be Birdie the Duck in the Fantastic Four movie?
Come on. Let's
hope so. You want that? That's interesting. You don't like the parents being together, but you like the offspring.
Well, I just feel like, they bend time so much in Fantastic Four, you know, who's going to really keep track? You know what I mean? Like, just throw her in there and don't explain it.
Nice.
Yeah, and Pete doesn't want to be the bird dad. He just wants to be the bird that stepped up. Is that how you say it?
I don't know what you're saying, but I just feel like she's great, and I could give a shit about Fantastic Four, so if she's in there, who cares?
Great opinions on our Marvel podcast. Why don't we go through some of these episodes in order that we've been talking about them a little
bit. Great, yes. But let's start with one, please.
Sure. Well,
interesting.
Great. I was going to start with like five or something.
What if we start
with one? The Godzilla Hulk was fucking badass, man. Come on.
So the first episode was What If the Hulk Fought the Mech Avengers? So as Pete's saying, this is an episode where we get a Kaiju Hulk versus Voltron-style Avengers. Right in your wheelhouse, Pete. Seems like you love this one.
I mean, this was just a no-brainer. I felt like I had my arms crossed and be like, all right, season three, fucking impress me. What the fuck you got? And then I was like, well, somebody came to play.
Uncrossed his arms.
Yeah, I was.
Great job, television show.
I felt very happy with the start of this, and And I felt like they did a good job of kind of building from there. But I just felt like if we're going to do this nonsense of the what if and the mix them up and the who gives a shit, then let's get goofy. And this is what I wanted.
That's funny. This was not my tempo. I did not like this one very much.
What did you like about it, Justin?
Didn't I like about it?
Yeah.
You don't like Godzilla. You don't like the Hulk. So,
I mean, it just felt like, you know, Voltron, Power Rangers. It's kind of a thing. I know those are
all
things.
Are Voltron and Power Rangers.
I feel like when I see those stories, the arc is almost always exactly the same, and then we sort of got that here. So it felt a little rote to me when the later episodes, I thought, were doing some more interesting things.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Zenzation Salad. Only at Zaxby's.
I think you and I are kind of the same mind here, Justin. I did like the action in the episode. I'm not.
Thank you.
Giant robots versus giant monsters. Cool.
Come
in
on,
my
fun.
Book. But you had mentioned the openings, which was a new thing for the season, where they had like the little cartoon throwback style origin story. Great. Love that. And then, sorry. They had first like the origin story of them and then did the origin story again, I believe.
I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
I'm forgetting. Oh, no. Okay, sorry. Let me look at my notes. So they have Go Avenger Heroes of the Gamma War and very fun, old school style cartoon. And then they show the main credits for What If, and then they have the watcher being like, here's how this happened again, even though we've just watched it, which I was like, we don't need to reiterate this. We just watched this in the fun cartoon thing. In addition, like we've been talking about all along, or I've been talking about all along, this What If scenario was like, what if Bruce Banner was running in Washington, D.C. instead of Captain America? Here's how that would turn out. And I was like, none of that follows in any way. You could have
One has asked that question.
Nobody has asked this question. None of it follows. Just set up the Go Avengers cartoon thing. Be like, there's giant Hulks and there's giant robots. The end. And just go. Just go with the premise. So that started me off in kind of like an annoyed place. And then it did have this weird mix of drama that didn't quite make sense and comedy that just didn't hit. So there you go. Pete's
getting
very mad.
Pete's mad. It's okay. We like different things. We have different tongues and the tastes that hit them differently.
Yeah. By the way, how's that going? You talked to our doctor about the tri-tongue surgery.
Yeah, we're going to get him. Oh, sorry. For those of you who don't know about a tri-tongue surgery, we're going to get each of our tongues split into thirds and then mix them up so we each have each other's taste.
Yeah. It's colloquially called going super snake.
Yeah, we're going super snake.
Wow.
You guys forking your tongue or keeping with the old roundy?
Episode two, we get the Bollywood action and...
we'll loop back to that question, Pete.
Yeah, okay. We'll loop back to that.
So the second episode is What If Agatha Went to Hollywood? Thank you for trying to speed it along, Pete, but it's not going to work. And we get... Yeah, we get Kingo meets Agatha.
Whoa, hold up. We got kind of an old school Hollywood Marvel flip in there, too, in the beginning of the episode, which is fun. Yeah,
the real What If.
Mm-hmm. Not much plot on this episode.
But I thought it was an interesting idea that if we're going to do this Hollywood, I thought Agatha and, you know, Camille would be a fun duo for this. They're very kind of like, I felt like the two of them together were a nice, funny duo, you know, chasing fame and kind of doing just stupid actory stuff. I thought that was like, I'm not trying to slap you in the face, Justin, but like they're, you know, really kind of very pro Hollywood, very whatever, you know?
Yeah, I'm pro Hollywood. I thought I love the retro setting for actually both of the first two episodes. I thought was really fun. Jarvis, second AD, fun.
Yeah.
Howard Stark is an absolute maniac this entire episode. I was like, why is this character this way? The only thing with this one, it was, I felt like all of the dance sequences reminded me of like really garbagey anime. Like it was like such Uncanny Valley, like Polar Express duplicated dancing that I just found very, I did not like that.
Did you like the line where he was saying that acting is the most noble profession?
Yeah, I have that tattooed on right under my right nipple.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That showed it too.
Yeah.
It's in Webdings, so it's hard to read.
Well, I just think, I don't know. I thought the casting was great, and it was like, if we're going to explore this idea, these two would be perfect for it, and I felt like they were really well used, and it was fun to see them kind of go on this adventure together. So I just felt like it was a good use of 22 minutes or whatever.
I had fun. It just didn't feel like there was a lot of there for me to hold on to dramatically. But I'm okay with a goof, particularly in the middle of the season. We have already talked about what if the Red Guardian stopped the Winter Soldier, and we touched on what if Howard the Duck got hitched. But why don't we jump ahead to what if the Emergence destroyed the Earth, which is the one that finds Riri Williams after the Emergence destroyed the Earth, tackling not Mysterio. They never call him Mysterio in the episode. Quentin Blake. The older version who has taken over the world with his Iron Legion.
Yeah, I thought the Mysterio without saying Mysterio was strange. But this one, like, it felt like this. They were pursuing maximum randomness in this episode. And like that's I think sometimes works and sometimes sticks out a little bit. So it's sort of right on the edge for me here. But this one felt like it exists outside of the show. You know, it felt like a real standalone thing, but I think that actually worked for it.
I'm sorry, I was looking through my notes. Did we skip to episode 5 with Riri? Is that what we're doing?
It's correct. Yep.
Okay, great. I just want to just do a quick poll here before we move on. You guys don't like the Red Guardian as a character. You don't think it's funny?
I like him all right.
Yeah. He was pretty funny in the Black Widow movie. Really looking forward to Thunderbolts.
He's going to be heavily featured.
Okay, so it's not like you hate the character and then kind of featuring him made you mad. Okay, all right.
Why, are you saying you're a communist, Pete?
No, I just think that it's weird that like a character who I thought was fun in the movies then got to do this kind of what if in a oddball team up that I thought was kind of right over the plate and you guys were like, bah. So I was just surprised.
It just didn't make a lot of sense to me, honestly. Like, Red Guardian was so exaggerated here. No. Red Guardian is so exaggerated here. Winter Soldier didn't really seem to connect to the way that his character is in the movies at all. He was already, like, just kind of Bucky, and that's pretty much it. So the...
Karma's trying to murder you.
It's the Russians.
Yeah.
I mean, my big thing is like Siegfried and Roy arrived in Vegas in 1990, so it would have been a pretty quick turnaround for them to be as famous enough that they would be able to make a reference to them by
100%.
Right after that.
Okay. I really like the Emergence episode as well. And this is one where I felt like, yeah, the what if scenario doesn't necessarily connect like we're so far afield, but the episode itself was very dramatic, very well done. I liked the matchup between these characters. The way that it turned out was dark. And, you know, getting back to the Watcher interrupting stuff, the fight, Riri, fight back, that was very affecting, I thought.
Yeah, I love the...
putting the Avengers symbol over the world at the end. Good stuff as well.
I loved her line, "Sorry, Casper, you ain't getting through." That was great. Mm-hmm. She was really badass in this.
Yeah, this was a good dramatic episode, and I agree with you, Justin, that I think you called out this one as well. The next one, What If 1872? Again, this felt like very in its own world. This was the closest to an Elseworlds, like What If the MCU, but Western, and that's pretty much it. And
Kate Bishop, though, dude, like shooting first, asking questions later.
I just wanted to call out something that the Watcher says early in the episode that drove home what I think they wanted to do with the series and kind of lost sight of. Is he's like, "We're far out in the multiverse. Think less what if and more what the hell." And I was like, "No, that's every episode, buddy. And if you just did that and leaned into that, this would have been a much."
So if they called it what the hell, you would have been on board from the beginning.
No, but that's what they were kind of going for, but then holding half back with a lot of the concepts of the episodes. And instead, if they had just gone for like, it's the MCU characters, but they're in the Old West at the end, you know, that is fine. And that was interesting. And we got to see interesting stuff with Kate Bishop, with Shang-Chi, and this was also the one that like kind of drove home, oh, the schedule was off here, is the Hood being the villain when we were supposed to see Ironheart, where the Hood is the villain in live action, like 2 years ago, I think. I'm sure they thought, oh, you'll know who the Hood is, because having a riff on the Hood here makes no sense, because nobody, like you were saying, Justin, in the MCU stuff has met that character yet.
But also the other kind of bad guy who is, you know, using his singing clock powers there or whatever, he's great. He's been in a ton of stuff. And
that's Sonny Birch, is played by Walton Goggins, the character.
Yeah, the guy.
Famously, we all remember, was in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. Yes, it's he's got a great voice, and I loved his casting in this.
Mm-hmm. In one of the Ant-Man movies. Movies I could definitely tell you apart from right now.
Well, there's definitely an Ant-Man in one of them.
Oh yeah, God. And maybe even two of them. And there are three of them, technically. Right?
You don't know the Ant-Man movies? That's the rumor. We watched them all. How do you not know the Ant-Man movies?
I have watched them all, and I know about him, and I know some of the stuff that happens, but those movies have definitely combined in my brain. And I would dare you to tell me some things that happened in each of them separately, Pete.
Okay, I mean, how much time we got?
Not that much time.
I could break them down.
No, that's okay. Justin, what did you think? You like this episode?
Yeah, I thought this was good. I was said they do genre pretty well when it can stand alone. Lots of like Thunderbolts-y setup here. I thought, did we get some Iron Fist referencing in here? Which I was like,
oh, yeah.
Bold choice.
Yeah, the character, oh gosh, Jun Fan, I think is the name of the character. The kid is an Iron Fist in the comics. I think it's by Dwayne Szczerzynski, not Matt Fraction.
Yeah.
And he is a Iron Fist in the Old West who shows up for a couple of issues.
Now, do you think, what was that about? Is that looking back to the much maligned Netflix show, or is this perhaps something we're going to see more of going forward?
I think if they had more seasons of What If, we would have seen more of this, as is. There is apparently an Iron Fist in Eyes of Wakanda, but I'm guessing it's probably going to be a different Iron Fist. I think this is more like, yeah, we can use these properties again, so let's mix them in. And not to sound like a broken record here, but I wish they had done more of that with this What If show as a whole.
Yeah, agreed.
We kind of already talked about the last two episodes, What If the Watcher Disappeared and What If, and both of those are meeting this team that includes Captain Carter, Storm, Birdie the Duck, and Kahorty, who we get to see again, all teaming up in their multiverse ship. And then the last episode is them fighting this Council of Watchers and ultimately setting out the new status quo where Captain Carter is quote-unquote dead, though maybe still alive somewhere in the multiverse. And the team is now all Watchers themselves standing in the multiversal corridor.
I mean, there's no greater win for your heroes than to become a Watcher who doesn't do anything. Right?
Ouch, so. Man. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty sad about Peggy dying, but I was also very happy to see her. She's a great character, and I would wish she would get more appearances and stuff because she is a delight.
People go hard for her. She's in the comics now. The TVA
as she
series,
should.
Main character, right? So, like,
more Peggy.
It weirded me out a little bit that, and maybe this wasn't the intention, but that we got that moment where he was like, no, I'm no longer the Watcher. I'm Uatu. And yeah. I was like, oh, weren't you Uatu the entire time?
No, he was a Watcher before.
I know.
Have you ever, like, met a mailman? Like, you're all the time, you're like, oh, you're my mailman.
Yeah, the mailman.
Then eventually you're like, no, I'm Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm retired from the mail.
Yeah.
My UPS guy did that to me the other day. He's like, real quick, what's my name?
And you're like, oh. No.
He 100% did, and I, like, straight up almost heart attack panicked.
You deserve
it. Hey, do you have the same UPS guy all the time?
Yeah, he's super nice. I love him. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah, you love him, and you don't even know his name.
No, but it's one of those things, like, I didn't ask him his name initially, and now he's friendly every time. I can't be like, by the way, what's your name?
Yeah. Well, Pete, what are you, kissing your UPS guy in the mouth? What's happening?
Yeah, dude, I invite him in for drinks, we hang out, we go riding on the truck. Dude, it's a fucking great time, bro.
Yeah, Pete doesn't even have a mailbox. He just sort of stands there with his snake tongue out, waiting for them to turn it down like the red flag. Yeah.
I love the idea that all of the people that come by just come in and hang out. Like, you have a ton of civil servants just, like, rolling through. Just
chilling, yeah.
Bringing a sixer to chill with Pete. Hey, man, the comptroller's here. That's me, Ronald. Sick.
So, I don't know. There was that, then followed by the moment of Uatu and the other watcher hanging out on the moon looking at the Earth, which might have just been a visual reference, but those two things compounded to being like, was this what we were working towards? I kind of felt like we were in our own MCU Watcher thing rather than this is an origin story of the Watcher you know from the comics, which doesn't feel necessary to me.
I thought it was nice, man. I thought it was a touching moment between two people, you know?
What did you think about the flashes at the end where the Watcher's like, there's a million different possibilities you never get to see?
There were too many. I was like, I couldn't see all of them.
It was funny. I actually like frame by frame through much of them.
And
most of them were ideas like, what if Thanos was Wolverine? What do you think about that? Or like, what if Deadpool had a lot of guns just like he does when Rob Liefeld draws him? And all these ideas is like, I don't know. I kind of wish I had it frame by frame because none of these are that inspiring or exciting. It's what if Jubilee was Silver Surfer? Sure. All right. I mean, I guess they're actually doing that in the comics right now. So there you go.
Yes. Alex, have you thought that maybe your UPS guy is named Uatu? That would be my first guess.
All right. I'll try that when he delivers my package later today.
That's a great,
thanks, Uatu.
And he'd be like, close.
Oh, that's even worse.
Here's the thing. It's like, he's very nice. I know he likes Star Trek. Whenever I get packages or like swag for them, I pass it along to him because he's a big fan.
Wait, he's getting swag?
He's getting swag.
Fuck you, man. That's bullshit.
Pete, deliver my mail sometimes. Pete, by the way, for anybody listening to the podcast, is my mailman, and I have not gotten a single letter.
Unfucking believable. You don't deserve to get a letter.
You do leave me those little packs of coupons, though, and I appreciate that, but I would love the rest of my mail at some point.
You appreciate those coupons?
I appreciate that he's leaving me anything.
Oh, nice. My cat used to leave decapitated mice in my doorstep.
That's a coupon. You can cash that in.
Yeah. Yeah, take whatever you want. Get out of the store. any other thoughts? We've talked through the episodes individually. We've talked
great
about the season.
Animation. I like the music, the vibe of it. It's fun. I mean, his voice sets a little bit of a tone that's kind of like, hey, we're going to explore some ideas. Alex, you might not like all of them, but please try to enjoy them. And
it was weird that he said that at the beginning of every episode. It felt very targeted.
In a good way.
Yeah. What did you think, Justin? What's your big take on What If?
I mean, I've always loved the idea of What If. It feels like it's where, in comics anyway, the creativity gets to sort of lead and cut loose. And, you know, we got enough of that here that I would like to see more of this. And I like the team at the end of this season. I would want them to not be watchers, but otherwise, fun group. I'd say bring it back.
I think given that they were trying stuff and really taking bigger swings this season, I was more on board for, and by the way, to be clear to everybody, the show was canceled, so it's done. But that doesn't mean, like you're saying, Justin, they can't bring it back for a one-off special in the future or something like that. But like, I want them to just have a clear sense of what they want the show to be. Do they want it to be an ongoing serialized show focusing on Peggy Carter and friends or the fallout there? Regardless, is it a comedy show? Is it a drama show?
And also use the animation flip in the beginning to show comics of what we're about to see. You know what I mean?
So it's got the Hulk to talk. Pete. But as I was about to say, I would love it if they put the comics in the flip at the beginning. That is an original idea that I've had, and I feel very strongly about it.
Wow.
And I think that note wraps up all of my feelings about What If. No, I think just like, I don't know, it never met the expectations I think we had for it when they announced it back in, 2018, 2019, like that. And that's a bit of a bummer, but there have been some highs as well as the lows throughout the series.
Well, and I think when the premise was introduced, it felt like it was a way to really go anywhere outside of the MCU. And I think when we realized that the series was just going to be basically mixing up, remixing characters and being like, what if they met a couple minutes earlier? I think that was the original sin of the series. Well, but I think once that was known, I think they were able to find some fun stuff, like you're saying.
I think realistically it came down to like, listen, we've got all these amazing actors signed up for these crazy contracts. We got to get them in more properties. Let's just kind of fuck around with some what ifs and see if we can have some fun with some amazing, character actors and voice actors.
I mean, it's weird not to get into the two meta story of this show, but this was announced when they were getting ready to hit Disney Plus hard and launch that hard,
yeah.
Right when it was coming out at the same time as HBO Max and Apple TV Plus and everything else. And here we are 5-6 years later, or something like that, when like there's a lot of questions about the future of the MCU. There's a lot of questions about the future of streaming. So it's really bridged that gap there in an interesting way from like, yeah, man, let's spend $2 billion on an animated What If show because, like Pete's saying, we can get not Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans, but Tom Hiddleston is available for whatever. Versus now when they're being...
What do you got against Tom, bro? Come on.
I'm just saying he's more available. That's all.
He does I love his availability.
Theater. Yeah, he's hysterical.
If he wants time to do I this podcast, it's great. We are open. We are open to that idea. We'll talk to his people and
Alex
see if he
hates
can
funny
negotiate.
People.
I don't like funny people, and I don't like jokes. My point being that, like, we're in a very different place in terms of entertainment in the MCU now than we are then. So I guess it's probably best that What If is wrapping up. And I don't know. I think we'll get more stuff like X-Men 97, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, where it's clearly hooked on very specific characters rather than the actors going forward.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And that is it. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about What If. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
It's always sad when something ends, but I just want to take a moment and say that when it comes to you two, I'll always beef there for both of you.
Oh, beef. It's what's for dinner.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sauteed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.